It's just really disappointing to find out that we had, you know, two members of the Air Force Security Forces involved in this kind of targeted assassination. You know, the two appear to have been involved with the Boogaloo Boys, which is basically a movement. It's not a group. It's a broad movement that is kind of focused around a couple issues. One is kind of rabid defense of the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear arms. And they are afraid of government action to basically confiscate or take away guns. And that seems to be kind of their driving focus. There are some within the Boogaloo movement who are racist. There are kind of racist Boogaloos. But quite frankly, as we saw in this case, you know, one of the two, Carrillo, was a Hispanic male and a white guy. So they're not inherently racist. And in fact, we've seen some of the Boogaloo Boys showing up at some of the Black Lives Matters protests because they just see it as an opportunity to pile on with kind of the anti-police, anti-government, you know, type rhetoric.
How does this group or this movement, as you say, stack up against other domestic terrorist groups or groups that lean towards that?
Well, what we're seeing is the Boogaloo Boys is you know, something that's kind of evolving more recently, you know, just in recent months and years. But it really comes out of a broader background of kind of the militia movement in the United States, which, you know, really goes back decades now. And this whole concept of, you know, it's just anti-government extremism, the concern about the government infringing upon rights. And in many cases, it seems to be gun related. But when we think back in history, there have really been several cases. I mean, such as the Murrah bombing in Oklahoma City, guys like Eric Rudolph with the Olympic Park bombing. There's just been this long history of, you know, this anti-government extremism welling up within the United States. And of course, it's not unusual to see people in this movement with military experience or prior military experience. You know, when we look at the Oklahoma City bombing and Timmy McVeigh, you know, he was an Army veteran. So there is kind of this history there of connections and of this kind of fear of the government and really hatred of the government. And that's what we're seeing with Boogaloo today. That's just more of a more recent modern manifestation of this kind of the flow of this militia movement.
This movement and people who engage in this kind of activity, they're going out and causing harm to other people. And we call this, you know, when it's jihadist, we call it terrorism, and we deal with it in a very strong and very quick way. So what needs to be done to deal with these groups to stop this domestic terror threat that they pose?
Well, you know, the problem that we've always had, you know, internally is that there really aren't the same kind of statutes for domestic terrorism that there are international terrorism. So you can't go after and investigate or arrest somebody for support of a domestic terrorist group the same way you can for support of an internationally designated international terrorist group. So really, the investigators are handcuffed a little bit when it comes to investigating domestic terrorism. And in fact, in most of these cases, they're not charged with terrorism. They're normally charged with, you know, murder and other crimes because there just aren't the same sort of statutes on board. So one of the things that I believe would be helpful is to have actual domestic terrorism statutes on the books that could be used to be more proactive and try to get them as they're planning these attacks rather than waiting until they conduct one.
What do you think is necessary as this whole situation, as far as race in the U.S., continues to intensify? Are there specific things that law enforcement organizations need to know or to think about or to prepare for to deal with that?
Well, certainly one of the things that we need to be concerned about in this present environment is you know, there's been a history of kind of ebbs and flows of domestic extremism in the United States. And generally when this happens, we do have kind of both extremes feeding off each other. You know, we saw kind of a peak in that activity, you know, in 1999, where we had, you know, what we call the summer of hate, with all this these racially motivated attacks and stuff on the far right, a lot of militia activity. At the same time, we also had, you know, the Battle of Seattle and the anarchists, you know, kind of acting up. And I believe that we're kind of entering a similar phase right now. And so I think it's really important for law enforcement to focus on the broad spectrum of potential actors, and to really be aware of their surroundings and to be aware of the threats. You know, for example, in this case, you know, this attack just didn't occur out of the vacuum. We saw that, you know, the two perpetrators showed up at the federal courthouse. They parked there, they conducted surveillance as they were going through their attack cycle, and then they launched it. And so law enforcement officers really need to be aware of those sorts of pre-attack behaviors and need to be watching for it, because they're targets, as well as everyone else. And you know, that's I guess one of the big concerns now is when you have people like the Boogaloo Boys, you know, it's not just houses of worship or soft targets that are, you know, potentials to be attacked. We really have the potential of them attacking the police. And so, you know, cops on the job really need to be aware of that as well.
Anything the average citizen can do?
Yeah, really. I think it's important for the average citizen to focus on really the same things that we urge in regard to international terrorism. You know, if you see something, say something. You know, these people don't just, they're going to emerge out of the fog. They are radicalized through this process, you know, this pathway to violence, where they'll have these grievances. They usually express them not only in person, but on social media. And when you see people really tending towards violence, advocating violence, and then, you know, in cases like this, preparing for violence, whether that's acquiring weapons, practicing, you know, assembling bomb making materials and explosive devices. When people see that sort of behavior, when they see them conducting surveillance, they need to alert the authorities to that behavior so that they can try to get ahead of these attacks and really thwart them instead of allowing them to happen. We need to be proactive and not just reactive.
Scott Stewart, Vice President at Tortstone Global. JJ Green, WTOP News.